chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. Thank you, Steve.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up to Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of that house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Christ, of the Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with them, the angel, a great multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst those with whom he is pleased."
Thank you, Steve. Before we turn to the Lord in the text, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the birth of your Son. We thank you for what it does for us. It saves us. We thank you for what it reveals to us. You love us. You are for us. In a way that is unimaginable. Our gracious Father, may we see more clearly this morning your great love and the sending of your Son and the Word being made flesh. Open our eyes this morning to see wonderful things in your Word. Grant that we would sing to you a new song, and that we would share with others that which fills us with such joy, the old gospel of your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Some days are full of surprises. For good or for ill, some days are full of surprises. For good, Christmas Day can be like that. You might be surprised by how good the food is. You might be surprised by how much of it you can eat. You might be surprised by a wonderfully thoughtful gift that you get from someone who loves you dearly, one of those gifts that just keeps on giving. Some days are full of surprises for good. Some days are full of surprises for ill. Sometimes you can just have one of those days. Car doesn't start, you get in a car accident on the way to work, you sprain your ankle, you lose your job. But some days, for good or for ill, surprise after surprise after surprise takes place, and you might get to the end of that kind of day and sort of just think to yourself, well, any more surprises? What else is there to come? You know, it's possible that this day, the day Steve just read about, was like that for these shepherds. And there's three surprises that I want to very briefly this morning direct your attention to. Surprising fear, surprising comfort, and finally a surprising sign. And then as we close, we'll consider the question, are there any more to come? Are there any more surprises to come? So firstly, a surprising fear. Look at verses 8 and 9. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I wonder if you've ever had a surprise encounter with a powerful animal, for example. It doesn't really happen in New Zealand. There's not many powerful animals around the place. If you're from Africa, maybe you've had a surprise encounter with a powerful animal. Maybe the closest I've come is I was walking around the corner of a lake house in America and I came across a snake in the grass. Don't think it was a poisonous snake, but I jumped out of my skin because it's a scary thing to see a snake in the grass, especially if you're from New Zealand where we don't have snakes and you're not used to them. But you see video online of people having surprise encounters with powerful creatures. People all of a sudden coming across a bear or a lion, and in a way, there's nothing scarier. Except verse 9 would be scarier. Picture the scene here. Here these shepherds are out in a field. Maybe it's a clear night, although they wouldn't have called it this. Maybe the Milky Way is stretched out over the sky. Probably it's a cool night. By the light of the moon and stars, you can probably see the breath of the shepherds, the breath of their flocks. It's possibly a quiet night. Possibly the only sounds really being the sounds of insects, maybe crickets chirping, feet moving on rocky ground, perhaps a word or two of conversation between the shepherds who are out in the field. Doing what? What are they out in the field doing? Well, actually, they're keeping watch, at least in part, for the creatures that I was just talking about. Lions and bears. Remember what David, another shepherd, who maybe walked through this field with his father's flock centuries before, remember what he had to protect them from? Bears and lions. Well, these shepherds, this very night, are keeping watch lest such powerful creatures make a surprise attack. But then a creature, 10 million times more powerful than a bear or lion, surprises them. The angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord, the one who isn't a creature, the one who isn't made, the one who made everything, the one who made all of the bears and all of the lions that stalk this planet, shines around them. This is a fearful surprise. Just emotionally, think through what the shepherds would be going through here, right? They're out in the field keeping watch for, you know, bears, lions, hoping one doesn't attack the flock. And then a creature, 10 million times more powerful, surprises them. Think about emotionally what that would do to you. This would be the equivalent of lighting a firework in your backyard, plugging your ears in case it hurts them, and sort of wincing with fearful expectation, and then having that firework explode with all the force of an atomic bomb. Like that's emotionally sort of the equivalent of what they would have been going through here. That's something of what the shepherds may have felt. And Luke tells us they were filled with fear. Their hearts, their bodies, their minds, everything was filled with fear. So that's our first heading, fearful surprise. And I just want to ask this by way of application. Have you been fearfully surprised by God? Have you been fearfully surprised by God? Have you woken up to the fact that you, a sinful creature, are going to have to one day face God, your sinless creator? Sure, you can deny that such a God exists. I can go to Africa denying that lions exist. Doesn't mean I won't encounter one. So have you been fearfully surprised by God. I hope he fearfully surprises you, even now, if he hasn't already, while there is still time to do something about it. Which brings us to our second heading, surprising comfort. We've covered surprising fear, now surprising comfort. Reading verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The first element of surprise here is what the news is. These shepherds probably thought their time had come. If you're in a field, in the dark, and all of a sudden a bright angel appears before you and the glory of the Lord shines around you, what would you think? It's over. I'm going to die. This is it. But that's not the news the angel brings. You're about to die. Instead, it's good news of great joy. Isn't that wonderful? They're filled with fear, but instead God wants them filled with joy, and he brings them good news to that end. Now, we don't actually find out the news until verse 11. Instead, first we find out who the news is for. Notice what the angel says. "I bring you good news of great joy." Who's it for? It's for all the people. And then he says, "Unto you." So you have this all-encompassing audience. Angel says it's for everyone. It's for everyone. Who's this news for? It's for all people, male and female, Jew and Gentile, young and old, everyone sitting here this morning. It's for all the people, but then he pinpoints these shepherds and he says, "Unto you." He says, "This is good news of great joy for you." Which brings us to the good news. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I want to focus on this word Savior for a moment. Think about the language of Savior. You hear people say, "He's my Savior. She's my Savior." And what they mean by that is usually determined by the context. You know, if they're talking about having lived a life of addiction to drugs and alcohol, substance abuse, and then they point to a friend and say, "She's my Savior," what they mean by that is she saved me from continuing in that life of addiction. Sometimes people don't use it seriously, though. Sometimes people use it flippantly. I remember my mum would call me an angel for making her a cup of tea. And she probably would have just as easily have said, "You're my Savior," for making her a cup of tea. Clearly she loves tea. But the question here, what does the angel mean by Savior? Savior from what? Savior from what? The answer is this: Savior from the wrath of God. What are the shepherds afraid of right now? What are they fearful of? The glory of the Lord is shining all around them and they're rightly afraid. But the angel says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because there's a Savior who's just been born unto you, and he's come to save you from your sin. Which brings me back to what I was talking about earlier. If God fearfully surprises you, if you see you're a sinner and that you're going to have to face him one day, where should you look? Where should you look? Where should you look to for help? Where should you look to for salvation? Who is your Savior? It's not you. It's him. This is the answer. The Savior, his Son. Because as the angel says here, a Savior has been born unto everyone, and he's being born unto you. But then that raises one more question. And that question is, how? How does he save these shepherds from their sin? And how does he save us from our sin? Which brings us to our final surprise, a surprising sign. We've covered surprising fear, surprising comfort, and now a surprising sign. Verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. I think the thing that's so surprising about this sign is how unspectacular it is, humanly speaking. It's the opposite of spectacular. Firstly, this Savior is a baby. Not a strong man. Doesn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Doesn't look like a hero. It's not an army. It's an infant. Secondly, he's wrapped in swaddling cloths. He's not wrapped in some gorgeous looking robe. He's not wrapped in some silk sheet entwined with gold. He's wrapped in ordinary cloth. Thirdly, he's in a stable, really. At least the equivalent of a stable. He's not in a palace, perfumed with beautiful roses and beautiful flowers. Instead, he's in a stable. And you know what stables smell like. Fourthly, he's in a manger. He's not in this beautifully adorned, comfortable crib. Doesn't say manger brought to you by Hugo Boss or Versace or Armani. He's in a feeding trough. He's in the thing that animals usually feed out of. That's what he's laid in. It's really the opposite of spectacular. But as surprising as they might have found this sign, a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, surprising as they might have found this sign, what's true is this. This sign, a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, this sign is precisely the Savior the shepherds need. They need a Savior humble enough to come and take on their flesh. They need a Savior humble enough to come and take on their filth. They need a Savior humble enough to come and take on their sin. And that's precisely the Savior they have in Christ. Because how is it that he's come to save them? It's by taking on their flesh. It's by taking on their filth. It's by taking on their sin himself. And that's how he's come to save you. By taking on your flesh, your filth, your sin himself. So what has this day been like for these shepherds? You might say, well, it's just been one of those days. One of those surprising days. They've had a surprising fear. They've had a surprising comfort, and now the surprising sign, which leads us to the question that I said in the beginning that we'd return to, is there one more surprise to come? The answer is yes. Yes, there is one more surprise to come. But it's a surprise that these shepherds might have seen coming. Remember, we're reading here about the start of Jesus' life. But what's the end of his life going to look like? Much like the beginning. Humble. He was born surrounded by animals. He'll die with robbers, as one commentator pointed out. He was wrapped in swaddling cloths. He'll be wrapped in a linen shroud, grave clothes. He was laid here in a borrowed manger. He'll be laid then in a borrowed tomb. And were any of these shepherds alive at the crucifixion to see that? Were any of these shepherds still alive at the crucifixion 30 or so years later to see that? They would be able to say, not only unto me he was born, and I walked into that stable and found him lying there wrapped in swaddling cloths for me, but for me he died. And I could walk right now into that tomb and find him lying there wrapped in grave clothes for me. That's the surprise to come, that these shepherds would be able to say, not only was he born to us, but he died for us too. So as we close, I just want to ask this question. Can you say that? Can you say, not only was he born as good news for all mankind, but he was born for me? And can you say, not only did he die for all mankind, all who would trust in him, but he died for me? That's the good news of great joy for all people, that God, in the greatest surprise in all of human history, loved us enough to send his son. Open his gift for you this Christmas, and if you have already, open it again, because Christ is the gift from a loved one, the God who is love. He's the gift that keeps on giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son. May we, every day of our lives, return to that cross where he gave himself for us. And may we sing a new song every day in response to that old gospel. And may we not only sing a new song, but may we share the gospel with others, with hearts full of love for you and for them, with hearts full of zeal to see you glorified. Gracious Father, may we this week walk in a way that glorifies you with grateful hearts, worshipping you for all that you have done and all that you have given us in your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.